Well, hello to everyone here and those of you who are listening in. And we have a beautiful, beautiful Sabbath here in San Diego. And today I'd like to pick up a topic which I kind of started talking about last time when I talked about Jerusalem and prophecy. And today I'd like to talk about something else in prophecy. I understand the title is Europe and Prophecy. You know, that may be a little bit misleading perhaps to begin with, but you will see that it is actually a sermon on Europe and prophecy, but it's not what we have written in our booklet on that. It's something in addition to what we have covered there. Because, brethren, times are running out. I don't know whether you realize that fully when looking at the news and what's all going on right now in the Middle East, in Europe, in Russia, in other countries, even South America, and of course in the United States of America and in Britain. Times are running out, and we are coming closer and closer to some very terrible times which are going to happen very soon. And when we don't have God's protection, then we are going to be totally helpless. I mean, unless we have God's protection, we are not going to go through this time which is going to come upon all of us in a very peaceful way. Brethren, we do find a series of remarkable prophecies in the Old Testament regarding an end-time religious, economic, and military system. And these prophecies refer to the system as Tyre. Now we find revelations about the end time leadership of that system as well in those prophecies we're going to look at in a moment. And those prophecies refer both to the human and the spiritual level. And we find those prophecies mainly in chapters 27 and 28 of the ancient book of Ezekiel. But in order to get the background, I'd like to start today in chapter 26. In chapter 26 of the book of Ezekiel, because that chapter sets the stage for the prophecies in chapter 27 and 28. Chapter 26 describes ancient Tyre, which is really the historical forerunner, if you please, of the end-time system, which we are going to talk about in chapters 27 and 28. And let's start reading now in Ezekiel chapter 26, and we'll basically stay today in those three chapters, but we'll look at a few other parallel scriptures as well. Ezekiel 26, and let's start reading in verse 1. And right now I'm reading verses 1 to 3, and then I'll make a few comments. You read here, it came to pass in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, because Tyre has set against Jerusalem. Aha! She is broken, who was the gateway of the peoples. Now she is turned over to me. I shall be filled. She is laid waste. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes its waves to come up. Now let's stop right here and analyze what we have just read. First of all, we are being introduced here to the city, the ancient city of Tyre. Now Tyre was a famous port city of the Phoenicians. It was the Phoenicians which had built this city. It is called Soar, S-O-R, in the Hebrew, and it's called Suar, S-U-R, in the Arabic language. And it both means rock. Now, this city was already an important Phoenician city in the 15th century. You can look at this later, but in Joshua chapter 19 and in verse 29, Joshua 19 and verse 29, you find a reference to this city of Tyre, and it's called there the fortified city of Tyre. And later, at the time of David, in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 7, that is 2 Samuel 24 and verse 7, it's again mentioned. And there it's being referred to as the stronghold, or you could also say the fortress of Tyre. Now, the interesting thing about Tyre is that Tyre was a dual city. Part of that city lay on the coast, and part of that was offshore on islands of rock. The church published several years ago a booklet called The Authority of the Bible. I have it right here. This was published, I believe, in 1980. And there's an article in there about Tyre. Now, those of you on the Internet can't see that right now, but I show it here in San Diego. And you can find here on the right side a picture of Tyre, and part of that was on the coast, and part of that was in the sea as a rock. And so Tyre is called, of course, the rock. Now, notice that we read in verse 3 that many nations will come against the city as the sea causes its waves to come up. Now, waves come one after the other. They do not come all at the same time. And in that the sea would have its waves come up against the city one after the other, so there would be many nations coming against the city one after the other. Now let's read in verse 4. And they, talking about those many nations who would come one after the other, shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers, and I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. And it shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. It shall become plunder for the nations. Plural again. So again, these would be nations who would come one after the other to then destroy the walls of Tyre and so on. But now notice something in verse 7. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen, and an army with many people. Now here we are being introduced now to the first destruction, which came through the first nation. And the first nation after, you know, this prophecy was given to Ezekiel. And the first one who would come against Tyre would be Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And so, in verses 7 all the way up to verse 11, you'll find a description of what Nebuchadnezzar would do. It says here in verse 9, he will direct his battering rams against your walls. With his axes he will break down your towers. Verse 11, with the hooves of his horses he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. But now notice the next verse, verse 12. It says, they will plunder your riches. Again, in verse 12 now, we are being introduced to subsequent nations. The interesting thing is what you read in verse 12, Nebuchadnezzar didn't do. He did what is described from verse 7 all the way up to verse 11. Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, did not destroy the part of Tyre that was offshore. He only destroyed what is called as Old Tyre, in other words, the part on the coast. That's all Nebuchadnezzar did. And he destroyed that part, which was on the coast, in about 609 B.C. After 7 years, and we'll talk about the significance of that in a moment, after 7 years, the Persians allowed that destroyed part of Tyre, which was on the coast, to be rebuilt. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, as I said, never destroyed what you would call New Tyre, in other words, the part which was in the ocean, in the sea. But, as we have just read, other nations would come subsequent to Nebuchadnezzar attacking Tyre. And historically what happened was that after Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great came. And he destroyed both Tyre, the old part, and New Tyre on the islands. He attacked both of those parts. And when that happened, many people from Tyre fled over the sea to Carthage. Well, really, it's a Latin word which means Carthago, and I had to even check it in the dictionary to see how you Americans mispronounce it. I think you say Carthage. It's really Carthago. It's a city in North Africa. That's where many of the people from Tyre fled when Alexander the Great attacked it. Now, this city, Carthage, or Carthago, had been established by the Phoenicians at a trading post in the 9th century B.C. So there's no surprise then that the Phoenicians, who were now in Tyre, fled to that city because they had created that, built it anyway, in North Africa some time before. Also, in addition to fleeing to Carthage, many fled to Tarshish in Spain. Now, we'll talk about all these cities in a moment. They have significance for us today. So they fled to Tarshish, which is a merchant city in Spain. Others settled in Italy, especially the Chaldeans and the Phoenicians. And the Phoenicians in Italy founded a very famous city there, which is called Venice. You know, this is this famous city where the boats, you know, drive through that city. You probably have all seen it in pictures. That's what was founded by the Phoenicians in Italy. Now, after Alexander the Great destroyed Tyre, both parts were subsequently resettled. And at the time of Jesus, Tyre had become a thriving port. You find a reference to Tyre in the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 31. That's a very famous passage. It's in Mark 7, 24 to 31, where Christ heals the young woman whose mother says that the dogs do eat the crumbs from the table of their masters. You probably remember that passage. It happened in Tyre. It happened right there. And then there's another passage in the book of Acts, chapter 12, and verses 20 to 21, where again Tyre is mentioned. And there it's mentioned where King Herod gave this speech, and people looked at Herod and said, oh, this is the voice of a god. This is not the voice of a man. And we read that, of course, worms immediately started eating up this King Herod, and Herod died, because Herod didn't give God the glory. Now, it was the people who kind of worshipped Herod, but Herod apparently either didn't stop it or kind of probably even encouraged them to do so. It's very interesting because we find a parallel prophecy of something like that happening later on of a soon-coming religious leader of this ancient system, which then has become a modern system, of Tyre. So this King Herod died in Tyre because he didn't give God the glory and at least supported the concept that he was God and not a man. Now, in time, other nations came to attack and to plunder Tyre, including the Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Crusaders, and finally even the Mamelukes. Now, I checked this out regarding the Mamelukes. I wasn't quite sure who they were. But the Mamelukes originally were purchased slaves. But they converted to Islam, and they advanced to a high military post in Egypt. And from the Mamelukes came the Turks and the Mongols and the Circassians. Today, they live in Nubia. So all these nations came attacking, destroying Tyre, but Tyre always kind of came back, not very in a significant way, but it did come back somewhat. But when all these attacks took place, some of the inhabitants of Tyre migrated again to Italy, and then they settled there in Rome. You might have heard of the name Tyrrhenian Sea. It's one of the seas, one of the oceans surrounding Italy. Well, of course, the Tyrrhenian Sea received its name from the city of Tyre. In other words, those who left Tyre and then went to Italy to live there gave the name of Tyre to one of those seas, the Tyrrhenian Sea. Well, today Tyre is still a minor port. It's inhabited by Islamic Arabs who fled Palestine when the State of Israel was formed and who settled in southern Lebanon. So it's still in existence. But now look at Ezekiel 26 and verse 13. Because now God is saying something which is still going to take place. I will put an end to the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps shall be heard no more. And I will make you like the top of a rock, and you shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt, for I the Lord have spoken, says the Lord God. Now this prophecy is still to be fulfilled, even for the ancient city of Tyre. And we see that this is done by God himself. He says, I will put an end to the sound of your songs. I will make you like the rock. And it says, goes on in verse 19, for thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, it says by the end of verse 20, you may never be inhabited again. Verse 21, and I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God. Now that God is going to do when Jesus Christ comes back. Now with this background, let's turn now to the next chapter in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 27. Because as we will see, this chapter does not anymore describe the ancient city of Tyre. But this chapter now begins to describe a very powerful, modern, economic system. And this system is being compared to the wealth and the prosperity of ancient Tyre. And as we know and as we will see today, the Bible does this sometimes, that it uses an old word for an old city like Babylon, talking about an ancient city, and then refers it to a modern city. Because we will find that there is going to be a Babylon, a modern Babylon. And of course the same is true of Tyre. Tyre is used for the ancient city, but Tyre is also used for a modern city, a system which is developing in Europe right now. It is the final resurrection of the Roman Empire, which is now called the quote-unquote Holy Roman Empire. And this is now being described here in Ezekiel 27. Let's start reading in verse 1 and notice how this is being described. Ezekiel 27, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, now, son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyre, and say to Tyre, you who are situated at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the peoples on many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty, your borders are in the midst of the seas. Now this term is used time and again, as we will see today. Your builders have perfected your beauty. And as we read on, we will see that what Ezekiel is doing, he is comparing this Tyre with a ship, a great merchant ship, showing thereby the great economic power of the system. Let's note it in verse 5. They made all your planks of fir trees from Sinar. They took a cedar from Lebanon to make you a mast. In other words, it talks about really a ship and parts of a ship. Verse 8. Of oaks from Bashan they made your oars. The company of Asherites have inlaid your planks with ivory from the coast of Cyprus. Fine embroidered linen from Egypt was what you spread for your sail. Blue and purple from the coasts of Elisha was that covered you. Verse 8. Inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your oarsmen. Your wise men, O Tyre, were in you. They became your pilots. See, all these symbolisms being used to describe a merchant, a big, huge merchant ship. Verse 9. Elders of Gebal and its wise men were in you to caulk your seams. All the ships of the sea and their oarsmen were in you to market your merchandise. So here we are being introduced to a very powerful economic power. But now the emphasis shifts a little, because now in the next two verses, verses 10 and 11, we are now being introduced to a military power. So this system is not just an economic power, it is also a military power, because it goes on to say in verse 10, those from Persia, Lydia, and Libya were in your army as men of war. They hung shield and helmet in you. They gave splendor to you. Men of Arvad with your army were on your walls all around. And the men of Gamad were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They made your beauty perfect. But now, interestingly enough, after the emphasis has shifted to the military aspect of this power, it goes right back now in the next verses to the economic power again. Now, why is that? Is it because this European power, which is developing in front of our eyes right now, started off as a somewhat economically important power, but in order to get the real economic power, as we will be reading about now, beginning in verse 12, this had to be accomplished through military, not peaceful, but military means. And that's why you find the military involved here in verses 10 and 11. Because now we read in verse 12, Tarshish, that city in Spain, which we heard about earlier, Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead for your goods. In other words, it's being portrayed here as all these elements are trading now with this system. Look at verse 13. Javan, Tubal, and Mezhesh were your traders. They bartered human lives and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. It says they bartered human lives. In other words, we are talking about humans. We are talking about slaves, which would be traded within this system. Some translations even have here, they traded slaves. Now notice who is all included. Who is all going to be part of this European system? Who is all going to be trading with that system? Let's go back to verse 12. You already read about Tarshish. That's Spain. A city in Spain, but it could stand for Spain altogether. But then go to verse 13. It talks about Javan, Tubal, and Mezhesh. Now Javan might be Greece, as some commentators have suggested. It could also be Japan. Because, you see, you look at the word, how it's spelled, and all you need to do is you replace the V with a P. But then you have the word Tubal, and you have the word Mezhesh. And commentaries tell us that these were nations or peoples which were originally situated between the Black and the Caspian Sea. And we have always felt that these could very well be references to the modern cities of Tobolsk and Moscow, of course, cities in Russia. So the Russians will be participating with the economic trade which will be going on with Europe. Let's keep reading now in verses 14 and 15. Those from the house of Togarma traded for your wares with horses, steeds, and mules. Togarma, perhaps Siberia, as some have suggested. Others feel it could be a reference to Armenia. So here is the nation of Togarma, which will trade with horses, with steeds, with mules. Verse 15, the men of Dedan, a reference to Arabic nations, were your traders. Many isles were the market of your hands. They brought you ivory tusks and ebony as payments. Now, the word for payment here can also mean forced tribute. So this again suggests occupation. This again suggests enslavement. This is not a very peaceful power over there in Europe which is developing once it's all said and done. They will actually go out and occupy other nations and then have tribute enforced on them. Let's go to verse 16. Syria, one of the nations which is in the news all the time these days. Syria will be part of it. Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. They gave you for your wares emeralds, purple, embroidery, fine linen, corals, and rubies. But now notice verse 17. Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. You see, the land of Israel could refer to the land where the house of Israel is today. It doesn't have to mean the land over there in Palestine. So wherever the house of Israel is today, they would be trading with this system too at the beginning. And so would be Judah, the Jews, wherever they may be. could include, the state, the nation of Israel, but it could also include wherever else the Jews might be. And they traded for your merchandise, it says, wheat of Minas, millet, honey, oil, and balm. So look what is being referred to here. The trading of the land of Israel and Judah would be mainly then in regard to wheat, millet, other grains. It would include other goods, and it would also include medical supplies, indicated by the word balm, which was used as a medicine at the time. Now let's turn to verse 18. Damascus was your merchant, because of the abundance of goods you made, because of your many luxury items, with the wine of Helbon and with white wool. Verse 19, Dan, which we understand to be Ireland. Have we wondered perhaps why Dan isn't mentioned in the book of Revelation when the 144,000 are being listed? Dan isn't mentioned there. Is this perhaps a reason? Dan and Javan paid for your wares. Not only apparently did they start trading with this European system, they kept trading with them because they are specifically mentioned in addition to Judah and the land of Israel. So Dan and Javan paid for your wares, traversing back and forth, wrought iron, cassia, and cane, which could be a symbol for sugar, we understand, were among your merchandise. Now, Europe, of course, is famous for the large amount of sugar they have. Verse 20. They then was your merchant in saddle cloth for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedah were your regular merchants. So all the Arab nations will be trading with this European system. They traded with you in lambs, in rams, in goats. The merchants of Sheba, verse 22, and Rama were your merchants. Look what they were trading. They traded for your wares the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stones and gold. Verse 23, Haran, Shaneh, Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Assyria, of course, modern Germany, and Chilmat were your merchants. Well, of course Assyria would be, because they obviously are the major power within this European system. But it also talks about Chilmat. Now, other translations have here all the Medes. Now, we talk about the Medes in a moment, because they are a very important people and nation which will fulfill a very important piece of prophecy. So they apparently will also, at the beginning, have merchandise and trade with this system. Now, once you know who the Medes are, it will make an awful lot of sense. And we'll talk about this in a moment. Let's go to verse 24. These were your merchants in choice items, in purple clothes, in embroidered garments, in chests of multicolored apparel, in sturdy woven cords, which were in your marketplace. Verse 25, the ships of Tarshish were carriers of your merchandise. You were filled and very glorious, again it says, in the midst of the seas. Verse 26, your oarsmen brought you into many waters, but the east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Now, something is going to happen at the height of this power, and they are at the height of their merchandise, their economic power. Suddenly, the system will be broken down. It will be destroyed, as we read in a moment, in one day, through the east wind, it says. Through the east wind. The east wind broke you in the midst of the seas. Now, let's notice what happens. Verse 28. Well, let's go to verse 27. Your riches, wares, and merchandise, your mariners and pilots, your caulkers and merchandisers, all your men of war who are in you, and the entire company which is in your midst, will fall into the midst of the seas on the day of your ruin. It will happen very suddenly. It will happen very quickly. It says here, on the day of your ruin. We'll find out in some more prophecies later, it will even be quicker than that. On the day of your ruin, through the east wind somehow, they will be broken down. Verse 28. The common land will shake at the sound of the city of your pilots. Now, While we are reading these next verses, let's carefully notice what's being said here, because we will read a parallel scripture in the New Testament which will exactly say the same thing. So I want you to notice a parallel, and also this will prove that what we are talking about here is not some kind of an ancient destruction of an ancient city. It is something which is still going to happen. It's talking about a modern system in Europe. Verse 29, all who handle the oar, the mariners, all the pilots of the sea, will come down from their ships and stand on the shore. And they will make their voice heard because of you, and they will cry bitterly and cast dust on their heads, and they will roll about in ashes. They will shave themselves completely bald because of you, gird themselves with sackcloth, and weep for you with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing for you, they will take up a lamentation and lament for you. What city is like Tyre, destroyed in the midst of the sea? Verse 33. When your wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth with your many luxury goods and your merchandise. But you are broken by the seas in the depth of the waters. Your merchandise and the entire company will fall in your midst. All the inhabitants of the isles will be astonished at you. Their kings will be greatly afraid. Their countenance will be troubled. The merchants among the peoples will hiss at you. You will become a horror and be no more forever. Now, you probably are ahead of me already, knowing where I'm going to turn next. I'm going to turn now, and keep your finger here in Ezekiel, because we'll come back to that in a moment. But turn with me, please, now to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. And let's notice the destruction of the same system. There it's referred to as Babylon. And the wording, how it's being used here, is almost identical. It's talking about the same destruction. This now is the end time system, which is referred to in the book of Revelation, in chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. And here we are finding a description of the destruction of this military economic system. They're called Babylon, called Tyre in the book of Ezekiel. Revelation 18, and beginning at verse 9. The kings of the earth, who committed fornication, lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torments, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city. For in 1 hour, it says, in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Verse 12, merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls. See, all these things we already were introduced to in the book of Ezekiel. Silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, and on it goes. But now look. Horses and chariots and bodies and souls of men. Talking again about the trading of slaves, which is going to be part of that system. That will all stop. Verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Verse 15, the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, verse 17, such great riches came to nothing. It will happen very, very quickly. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, said, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city, in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, giving exactly the same impression like we had already been introduced to regarding Tyre. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. And then in verse 21, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea and said, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. So we find here, again, a destruction described of the system. Here in the book of Revelation called Babylon. It was called Tyre in the book of Ezekiel. But how will God do it? Now, first he will use powers from the east and the north. And that's why we read earlier that this city Tyre will be destroyed through the east winds. So God will use powers of the east and the north to attack this military and economic system. You know, this system is called in Scripture also sometimes the daughter of Babylon, to identify both its origins, where it comes from. It comes from ancient Babylon, but it also designates its future, because it's the daughter. It's still something which is going to be there at the time of Christ's return. And it also talks then about its ultimate destruction. Let's go, hopefully you still have your finger in the book of Ezekiel, but I want to go to the book of Jeremiah and just quickly read two scriptures which refer to the daughter of Babylon. And let's notice something about its destruction in Jeremiah chapter 50 and in verse 42. Jeremiah 50 and verse 42. And here is a people or peoples described which will destroy Babylon, coming from the east and the north. Now remember, we read earlier in the last sermon I gave on Jerusalem prophecy that the beast power will hear rumors or bad news from the north and the east, and he will go out to fight those people from whom those rumors come. Well, that's where they're coming from. Jeremiah 50 and verse 42. It says, they shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel. They shall not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride on horses set in array, like a man for the battle against you, O daughter of Babylon. This talks about a future Babylon, not the ancient one. A system which is developing right now in Europe. Also go to chapter 51 and verse 33. Jeremiah 51 and verse 33. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor when it is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of the harvest will come. So this modern system, the 10th resurrection of the Roman Empire, called here the daughter of Babylon, will be destroyed. But by whom will they be destroyed? Well, the Bible makes it clear it's mainly the Medes who will attack modern Babylon and who will attack modern Tyre. Since we are in the book of Jeremiah, let's stay here in chapter 51 and let's look at verse 11. Now remember, I mentioned the Medes already before, still haven't said who they are, but here they are being identified, or at least they are being referred to in Jeremiah 51 and verse 11. Because here we are talking about the future destruction of the modern system of Babylon, and look who is doing it. Jeremiah 51:11. Make the arrows bright, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. Now remember, we talked about that one too last time, that Jerusalem will be under the Gentiles for a certain amount of time, and it's entirely possible that there's going to be a temple there in whom the man of sin is going to sit, and the abomination of desolation is going to be erected in this temple. And here God is saying his plan is against Babylon, the system who does that, to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple, because it's going to be desecrated. Also look at chapter 51 and verses 28 and 29. Jeremiah 51, verses 28 and 29. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes. It's not only the Medes, but it's part of them. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, its governors and all its rulers, all the land of his dominion. Verse 29, and the land will tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. Also go to the book of Isaiah And let's find out more about these Medes God is going to use to destroy this modern system of Babylon or Tyre. Isaiah 13, and let's look at verse 17. Isaiah 13 and verse 17. Great, behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. And these Medes are being described as those who will not regard silver, and as for gold, they will not delight in it. They have other interests, other priorities. Also, their bolts will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And Babylon, it says, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Also turn to chapter 21 in the book of Isaiah. And let's just look at verse 2 and also then at verse 9. Isaiah 21 and verse 2. And here we again are being introduced to the Medes as the power conquering, destroying Babylon. A distressing vision is declared to me. The treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunderer plunders. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All its sighing I have made to cease. And now let's go to verse 9 to see whom we are talking about. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. Then he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. Mentions it twice because it's going to fall two times. It fell in ancient times. It's going to fall again, right at the time of Christ's return. And all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. When this military economic system falls, the religious system, which is part of it, which we haven't even talked about yet, will fall too. See, it says, Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods, those idols, which are part of this religious system, they will also be broken to the ground. Now, in ancient times, to talk a little bit about the Medes now, who they were, who they are. In ancient times, the Medes lived in present-day Iran. First, they were under the Assyrians, but they revolted. And finally, they expelled the Assyrians, and then they imposed their rule over the Persians. After that, they attacked Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, and they overthrew the Assyrian Empire. Now, that's interesting. That happened in the past. You see, something very similar is going to happen again in the future. Under Cyrus the Great, the Medes and the Persians were considered as one people. That's why you read a lot about, you know, the Medo-Persian Empire. But according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, the 1959 edition, at least some of the Medes were not Iranians, and they were not Indo-Europeans either. But according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, they were connected with numerous tribes of the Caucasus, in other words, Russia. And that's where they are coming from, and that's where they are coming from again in the future. It's going to be Russia, which is going to attack Europe. You know, Russia's not going to attack the United States of America, but it's going to attack Europe. That's the power God is going to use to destroy this modern Babylon. But ultimately, God himself will destroy Babel or Tyre at the time of Christ's return. And when he does that, at that time he will also destroy the modest remains of the ancient city of Tyre, which we have read about earlier. Now let's turn back to the book of Ezekiel and go to the next chapter. Because here in the next chapter, we are being told something about that part of the system we haven't talked about yet. Ezekiel 28. In Ezekiel 28, we find a description of an end-time leader of Tyre. It's at least primarily talking about a modern leader of this modern system. It's not primarily talking about an ancient leader of the ancient city, although it could be excluded to an extent, but it's primarily talking about a modern leader of this modern system. And look how this modern leader is referred to here in chapter 28 and verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre. So this modern leader is called a prince, the prince of Tyre. And thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god. Another translation says here, I am God. And I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas. Yet God says, you are a man, if you are not God, though you set your heart as a heart of God. Verse 3, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. Now this man is an extremely intelligent and wise individual. And with your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself, and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Here we're talking about an individual who is very wise. He is very rich. He is the leader of a very rich and prosperous and wealthy system. But he is also calling himself God. Now, keep your finger here in the book of Ezekiel and turn with me to a New Testament prophecy in 2 Thessalonians. And notice something about a person here who is described, who is saying the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Paul is saying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, talking about the return of Christ, the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ comes back, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, the falling away from the truth, which we have been seeing in front of our eyes for the last several years, almost on a daily basis. But it goes on to say, and the man of sin is revealed. The man of lawlessness, as some translations have it, is revealed. The man who has done away with God's law and has replaced it with human traditions. This man still has to be revealed. It's called the son of perdition. In other scriptures, he is referred to as a false prophet who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This man is going to claim that he, in fact, is God. And if you turn back now to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, you find exactly the same statement here, made by this prince of Tyre, saying that he is God. So we are talking about the same individual. But notice what we have read in Ezekiel 28. He says, your heart is lifted up. You say, I am God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. We have read that time and again. First of all, we are being told here that here is a religious system coming on the world scene. A very wealthy, rich religious system, which is going to be led by a person who is wiser then Daniel, it says, a very bright individual. And he sits in the midst of the seas. Now, Italy, with its capital Rome, is located between, surrounded by, numerous seas or oceans. The Ligurian Sea, the Tyrrhenian Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, the Ionian Sea, and the Adriatic Sea. He is actually, quite literally, sitting in the midst of the seas. And he is going to say that he is God. Now, this system, as we find here in verse 4, is very rich, is very prosperous, is very wealthy. Let's keep reading in verse 5. Well, we read verse 5, let's read verse 6. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of God, as some translations have it, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. So God is going to bring the most terrible of the nations against this religious system and also against this leader of this religious system. Other translations say here, the most violent nations. We'll see in a moment who they are. But let's go to verse 8. They shall throw you down into the pit. You shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Will you still say before him who slays you, I am God? But you shall be a man, and not God. Now the interesting thing is, remember Herod, we talked about earlier, who was also looked upon as God, and God immediately struck him down. In the hand of him who slays you, it says, you shall be a man and not God in the hand of him who slays you. Verse 10. You shall die the death, this is a plural word here, the death, plural, of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. Now who are those strangers? Who are those aliens? The most terrible of the nations, as we just read, who will do that? Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7. Ezekiel, chapter 7, let's look at verse 24. Here we find a nation described attacking modern Israel and modern Judah. Now, we already know from the last sermon who that nation is. But let's look at it again here in verse 24 of Ezekiel 7, how they are being identified. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess their houses, and I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Here we are finding a people or peoples referred to as the worst of the Gentiles, sounds pretty much like the most terrible of the nations, attacking the modern tribes of Israel and Judah. Now this would be the European army. This would be the modern Assyrians, mainly, under this King Jareb we talked about earlier, this leader of the Assyrian army. Now notice something in the book of Ezekiel chapter 30. And let's notice here a reference in verse 11. Ezekiel 30 and verse 11. Verse 10 refers clearly to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a forerunner of the end time leader of the Assyrian and Babylonian system. So by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, God says, I will destroy, in this case, Egypt. But now look at verse 11. He and his people with him, the most terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land. And they shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. Here the ancient Babylonians are clearly identified as the most terrible of the nations. And that's also going to be the modern Babylonians, or Assyrians if you please, the most terrible of the nations who will attack this religious system. Now also turn to the book of Ezekiel 31 and verse 12, we find another reference. Again here an attack by Babylon, ancient Babylon against Egypt, verse 12. And aliens, the most terrible of the nations, have cut it down and left it. In this case, Egypt. Its branches have fallen on the mountains and in all the valleys, its boughs like broken by all the rivers of the land. And all the peoples of the earth have gone from under its shadow and left it. And another reference in chapter 32 and in verse 12. In verse 11, again, it's clearly identified who we are talking about. Ezekiel 32 and verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon you. Verse 12. By the swords of the mighty warriors, all of them the most terrible of the nations, I will cause your multitudes to fall. So we see that the ancient Babylonians, referred to as the most terrible of the nations, destroyed certain peoples, and the modern Assyrians, as they are the leading nations of the Babylonian system, will also do likewise when they are going to attack and destroy the religious system. But now, how could that be? Do we have any prophecy in the Bible which backs it up, that actually it's going to be this powerful military and economic power which is actually going to destroy the religious system? Well, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, because the Bible says that's exactly what's going to happen. Revelation 17, and quite frankly, if you want to read again our booklet on Europe and prophecy, you'll find out that Adolf Hitler, the ninth resurrection of the European Empire, or the Roman Empire, had exactly that in mind. He wanted to destroy the Christian, quote-unquote, religion after the war. He didn't get to it yet. In the future, it will happen. Revelation 17 and verse 16. He reads, "And the ten horns which you saw on the beasts, these will hate the harlots." A reference here to the religious system. "Make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw," in case anybody has a question as to who that system is "that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." And you'll find in verse 9 of Revelation 17 that the seven heads are seven mountains or seven hills on which the woman sits. Now, there's only one city, brethren, which is a religious, Christian religious city, which is built on seven hills. So it's very clear whom we are talking about, but we just saw that the beast is going to hate that system, that they will make her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. So the military power, this economic military power, will ultimately destroy this religious power, confiscate their riches, burn her up, that is, extinguish its existence. Now we find another prophecy in the book of Isaiah. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah now, chapter 23. That also describes the fate of modern Tyre. Isaiah chapter 23. And again, if you read that, and when you read this prophecy, it focuses mainly, again, on the religious system, the religious aspect of this system. Isaiah 23, beginning in verse 1. "You read the burden against Tyre. Wail, you ships of Tarshish." So again, the ships of Tarshish are mentioned as being part of the system. "For it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them." Verse 4. "Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken. The strength of the sea, saying, I do not labor, nor bring forth children, neither do I rear young men, nor bring up virgins." Very interesting passage. The strength of the sea, that influential and great religious power, is no longer the mother church able to bring forth children. You see, at that time it will say, I'm not able any longer to bring forth children, bring up virgins, rear young men. Let's go down to verse 7. "Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days, whose feet carried her far off to dwell?" As we already know, the inhabitants of ancient Tyre, the ancient city of Tyre, migrated to another place. They migrated to Rome. So the inhabitants of this ancient city went far off to dwell. Their feet carried them far off to dwell. They went from Tyre all the way to Rome to live there. Now drop down to verse 13. "Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people which was not." Now, the people from the land of the Chaldeans settled in Italy, as we know, after they were not a people in their ancient land anymore. And so we read, "Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, this people which was not. Assyria founded it for wild beasts of the desert. They set up its towers, they raised up its palaces, and brought it to ruin." So we're being told here that Assyria had originally founded Chaldea. But God says, looking at the end of the matter, Assyria really founded it for wild beasts to dwell in. Because that's what the ultimate fate of it is going to be. And we know the same is true for modern Babel. And of course we also know already now it's true for modern Tyre. Now go to verse 15. Now it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre will be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. At the end of 70 years it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the harlot. We already heard about the harlot in the book of Revelation. Take a harp, verse 16, go about the city, you forgotten harlot, make sweet melody, sing many songs, that you may be remembered. And it shall be, verse 17, at the end of 70 years, that the Lord will dwell, or will deal, with Tyre. He will remember Tyre. She will return to her hire, and commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Talking obviously about this modern religious system, which is also being described in the book of Revelation as committing fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. And her gain and her pay will be set apart for the Lord, it says. It will not be treasured nor laid up, for her gain will be for those who dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing. Now let's look first of all what happens anciently, and let's see how it applies prophetically. Ancient Tyre was forgotten without any influence for 70 years from the attack through Nebuchadnezzar in 609 BC. After Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed Tyre, or at least the parts which was on the lands, it took 70 years until the fall of Babylon in 539 BC that Tyre was forgotten. But after that, Tyre became again known. The Persians build it up again. This is what happened anciently. So there was actually a time for 70 years where Tyre was pretty much forgotten. But there is also a modern prophetic application which we have to look at, and look how this applies. In the year of 1859, Garibaldi united the Italian states. And when he did that, by all standards, he destroyed the power of the Catholic Church. But exactly 70 years later, in 1929, Mussolini signs the Concordat with the almost bankrupt Catholic Church, enabling it to become very prosperous and powerful again. Now, but what is meant with verse 18, that her gain and her pay will be set apart for the Lord? Well, this passage tells us that the wealth of that religious power will be used in the millennium for good purposes. It will not be used any longer for any evil or bad purposes, but that wealth will be used and given to the people who are, it says, in front of the Lord. Note how this end time activity of this prosperous religious power is described again in the book of Revelation. Let's turn real quick to the book of Revelation again, chapter 17, and let's notice this in verse 4 and verse 5. We read in Revelation 17 and verse 4, the woman, that woman who is riding on this beast, this political, military, economic power, this woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. This is, of course, spiritual language. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great. This is a modern system called Babylon the Great, because that's where it's coming from. But she is also the mother of harlots, because everyone who is following this system, they have also committed, spiritually speaking, fornication. This system is responsible for doing away with God's law. It is a system which has changed God's law, has changed the law regarding the Sabbath, has changed the law regarding the holy days, and those who are following their mother have done the same thing. And that's why God says she is the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. It says in verse 9, we read this already, that she is sitting on a city with seven, built on seven hills. Verse 18, the woman whom you saw is that great city. We read that. Let's turn to chapter 18 and verse 3. Revelation 18 and verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This system is not a very peaceful one once it has the power to become more, you know, involved in affairs. They have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. That's a very wealthy, a very prosperous system. Verse 8 in Revelation 18. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now focusing now real quick on the religious leader of the system, he will die or he will be slain by Christ himself. Go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 38. No, Ezekiel 28. We already read it. I just want to read it again. Because it is Christ who will throw him alive, this false prophet, this man of perdition, this man of sin, this prince of Tyre, into the lake of fire. Together with the military leader, the king Jareb, this king of Assyria, as we have mentioned last time, the beasts. They are both being thrown by Christ into the lake of fire. Go back to Ezekiel 28 and verse 9, and here God is asking this religious leader the question. Will you still say before him who slays you, in other words, Jesus Christ, I am God, but you shall be a man, not God, in the hand of him who slays you? So he is asking this leader, well, are you going to tell Christ that you are God when Christ is there to slay you? Well, of course not. You will know at that time that you are a man, and you will be destroyed. But notice now verse 8. Let's go back to verse 8. They shall throw you down into the pit, the pit which is burning with fire and brimstone, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. In other words, you will die the death of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. In other words, as they die, so you will die. Let's look at verse 10 again. You shall die the death, plural, of the uncircumcised by the hand of the aliens, for I have spoken, says the Lord. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hands of the strangers, it says. In other words, you will die a shameful death. As one who is uncircumcised dies a shameful death when he is killed by strangers, so this religious leader will die in disgrace when Christ will throw him into the lake of fire. Now turn to chapter 28 and verse 11, because now the story switches again. In Ezekiel 28 and verse 11 we read, Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. See, we were introduced to a prince of Tyre first in chapter 28 and verse 2. Now we are being introduced to the king of Tyre, somebody different. And as you know, when you read the entire passage here, we are talking about none other than Satan the devil. He is identified as a cherub in verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers an angelic being. He is identified in verse 15 as one who was perfect in his ways from the day that he was created. He is a created being till iniquity was found in him. We read in verse 16 that he sins, and therefore God cast him as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. We are told earlier that he actually was in Eden. So he was right there when Adam and Eve were there. So this is Satan the devil. This is the power which is actually behind this entire system of Tyre. Economic, military, political, and religious. Especially religious. And he goes on to say, And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, in verse 16, from the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, he replaced him. He removed him. He was this cherub who covered the throne of God. But he was removed now because he sins. And of course, we read about the sins of the angels who became demons in many places in the Bible. So we are introduced here to this king of Tyre, no longer the prince of Tyre. This king of Tyre, as I said, is Satan. He is the one who is behind the prince of Tyre, this religious system, this economic system, this military system. It is this individual who wanted to be God, as you know. And, of course, he fails. And now he is inspiring his human instruments to have that same desire to be God, like this false prophet at the end, who is apparently already still alive. He hasn't been revealed yet. He thinks he's going to be God. This is a thought which Satan gave this instrument, because he fails. And so now he's using human instruments to give them the same desires. So we read then in verse 17 that his heart was lifted up, Satan's heart, because of his beauty. And so he corrupted his wisdom for the sake of his splendor. Now I believe that at this point, the reference goes back to the human leader, to the prince of Tyre. Because we read, and I cast you to the ground, I laid you before kings, that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst, it devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth. You see, this false prophet will be turned to ashes in the lake of fire. And Jesus Christ throws him into the lake of fire together with the beast, the military leader, this King Jareb of Assyria. Verse 19, and all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Now this doesn't mean necessarily for all eternity. Forever can refer to the time of an age. For instance, in this case, the millennium, perhaps. As you know, the false prophet being thrown into the lake of fire at the beginning of the millennium might very well be brought up again at the time, depending on what his fate's going to be, of the second or the third resurrection. So we find that he is going to be thrown into the lake of fire at the beginning of the millennium together with the beast. But we have speculated, have they committed the unpardonable sin? We don't know. But in any event, there is still a second and a third resurrection either way. So I want to conclude then today by saying that these things which we have read about today are surely going to come to pass. And they're going to come to pass very soon now, judging on everything we are seeing right now in the world scene. And we had better be sure that we have our acts together, because when that time comes, brethren, it's going to be a frightful time. The whole world will be deceived. They will look at this false prophet as God. He is going to be able to do miracles, even asking fire to come down from heaven. It will be a very prosperous economic power over there in Europe. And all the nations want to even have a part of it, trade with them. But God says to us, come out of her, my people, that you shall not partake of her sins, that you shall not partake of her plagues, because God is very angry with this system. The time is short. Let's make sure that we are getting ready.